front page of every paper and leading the news today is the guilty finding yesterday of Daniel Jack Kelsall of murdering Morgan Huxley in his Neutral Bay unit. A lot's come out that's pretty chilling that Daniel had told psychiatrists, including one night he actually took a knife home from where he works at the Sydney Cooking School in Neutral Bay and walked home with thoughts of killing a random, is what he said, and didn't come across anyone. Thank God. We've got a guy on the line who was Daniel Kelsall's boss at the Sydney Cooking School in Neutral Bay. His name is Brett, and he joins us now. Brett, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Brett, how are you travelling with all this going on?
Look, it's been quite a shock. I mean, it has been going on 2 years. You know, when someone works for you so closely and, you know, for 18 months, we didn't have a lot to do with him work-wise. You know, he would come as we were leaving to go home. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still in the same sort of
jurisdiction
area as him. And, so it is quite a shock to, someone's capable of doing that.
Jack, when I look at him, Brett, when I look at Daniel Jack Kelsall, I look, and I don't know whether it's Sibylia hindsight now, and because we know what he was capable of, but for me, I look at him and he looks cold-blooded. He looks like a bit of an ill fit. Did you find that with him at all? Was he a bit of a strange cat?
Look, strange is an understatement. I mean, everything he did was strange. He would look you straight in the eye, like a foot away from you, and say, "How was your day?" And you'd go, "I had a good day, Jack. How was yesterday?" And like really, very socially inapt. Mm,
right. So
didn't know how to act around people.
So not just socially awkward.
Intense.
Sort of intense as well.
Very intense, yes. Yep.
So, Brady was a, we believe he was a loner who basically lived for games. He would even travel out as far as Penrith to go to a game expo.
He would go for anywhere, and he would say, because he worked as a contractor, he did his own hours, it didn't matter. He'd say, look, I won't be in tonight till later, but I'd come in at 8 o'clock in the morning and everything would be done and clean. So he could have come in at 3 or 4 in the morning and I say, well, where are you going? And he'd say, I'm going out to Penrith or, you know, Blacktown because there's a gaming expo. And he just lived for games and everything about his life was sort of not real. You know,
these fantasy
books
world.
He read and, fantasy world.
Well, talking about fantasies, Brett, it said that, you know, he used to fantasize about about stabbing someone to death. And as Pagey pointed out in the intro, he took a knife from your very cooking school one night and was intent on doing it and didn't run into anyone, but eventually followed through with it. Was there ever any dramas in the workplace with Daniel?
Look, never once. I do know that about 2 years ago or, you know, 2.5 years ago, a knife did disappear. You know, we've got 120 knives in the school, but we know when one disappears because they all have a place.
Mm.
And one did disappear and it was very unusual and we sort of thought, well, maybe it got accidentally put in the bin or something. That can happen. Now it comes to light that, you know, he took it home to try and fulfill his fantasy.
Wow.
But he used to walk the streets at night. And I used to say to him, why do you walk the streets? Oh, I like to look at other people's, you know, what they throw out for, you know, council collections and stuff like that. That was his answer.
Brett, speaking to another business owner there around the, you know, Neutral Bay shopping village, a guy that, you know, had a bit to do with Daniel Jack Kelsall in his business, told me as recently as last week, there is no way this bloke is guilty. He's a little scrawny guy. He wouldn't hurt a fly. There is no way he did this. Was that or is that still your thought or do you believe that?
Look, I do. I have to believe that because the Daniel Jack Kelsall that we saw is exactly that. Scrawny, wouldn't hurt a fly, never even heard a swear word or a bad word out of his mouth. Yet, you know, how do we suddenly see the evidence of, you know, fantasizing about murder, taking knives home, blood on the bag.
Wow.
It's hard to dispute that sort of evidence.
Do you feel like you've dodged a bullet a bit, Brett?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I bet you do. Unbelievable. I mean, you're in contact with this guy on almost a daily basis. He's a time bomb.
And I'm a chef, so when he leaves the dishwasher on all night, he cops it.
Oh, right.
Wow. So, you know, he was like that. He used to leave the dishwasher on, and I used to say, that's cost me a fortune. You've left the lights on. He was very forgettable. You know, there were days where he'd say, oh, my doctor's playing with my drugs. I don't know if I'm going to be 100%. When he's not 100%, you're looking at about 10%.
Wow.
Brett, he's now going to spend the rest of his life in jail. In the last 18 months to 2 years since this has all been going on, have you gone and seen him in jail? Have you spent any time with him at all? Have you been any sort of crutch or support for him?
No. Look, this, I was advised it was best just to let it run its course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Brett, he...
And the police asked that as well. You know, like, I was one of their witnesses and, you know, I just thought, let it do what it did.
Did you feel like you wanted to?
Not really. I asked him before this all, you know, came to light, before they actually identified him, I asked him if he did it. Only because I know that night. That night is, you know, one night that sticks in my memory because it's a friend of mine. It's her 21st. Gorgeous model girls everywhere. And it's very rarely do I finish at, like, sort of almost midnight. You know, we normally finish at 9 o'clock at night. So I know that night especially. And next day it happened and we couldn't get into the school because they'd blocked off all the streets. And I asked him when he came in because he looked really scared. And I said, you know, what's wrong? He said, oh, there's a murderer around. I'm just really scared. You know, it was just very weird when you think about it.
When you asked him, did he do it, what was his reply and was it convincing?
Oh, he just basically just looks like he does it. He doesn't show any emotion. That's the thing.
Right, okay.
It's like talking to a robot. He goes, no, wasn't me.
Wow.
Yeah, Brett, the homicide detectives would have come to see you and other business owners around there pretty early on in the piece. They didn't really have a lot as far as clues until Daniel Jack Kelsler actually handed him in. Is that right? Handed himself in.
He walked into the station and said, yeah, you're looking for me sort of thing.
Wow.
Unreal.
Thanks very much
for the insight, mate. Much appreciated. And
all the best with the cooking school as well, Brett.
Thanks,
good luck with the business.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good on you, Brett. Man, well, there you go.
Talk about, I said, dodged a bullet. Like, he would go in there and scold him for leaving the washing machine on, leaving the lights on. You know, bloody
could have snapped. Wow. Knives everywhere. There you go. Thank you very much, Brett, from the Sydney Cooking School on Military Road in Neutral Bay there for joining us. 14-9 now on the grill team.